Hello again. It looks as though you're ready for some more tales from the script. Well, why don't you all sit down and make yourself comfortable as I, your frightening friend, the script keeper, shall read to you one of my many devilish dialogues, spectral scenarios, and, well, you get the, we're 3 weeks in now, you can probably fill in the blanks here. Ever to be ghost-written by an underpaid intern. In this week's frightening film, The Sixth Seance, you may learn that when messing with arcane powers that you don't understand, sometimes the thing you fear most is closer than you realize. Matt and Tom have resorted to meddling with the occult and have arranged to meet their pals Patrick and Theo at one of their usual haunts, the old abandoned church, where all those religious rituals happen. You know the one. We open with an establishing shot inside a dark, ruined church. As firelight flickers against the broken stained glass windows, the camera slowly zooms in on Tom as he plays with a legally distinct occult communication board.
Well, why isn't this working? Like, this is the fifth time we've tried this now.
Listen, once Patrick and Theo get here, we'll...
I would try it with a glass.
Whoa! Jesus Christ, when did you get here, Patrick and Theo?
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump. I would try it with a glass rather than a plastic cup. It tends to work better.
Oh, okay.
I think it's off the ground. Here in the, it's a beautiful, beautiful church.
Yeah, the atmosphere, it's beautiful.
But it seems like someone's been squatting in it for a little while,
I was going to say, is somebody going to be mad that we're here?
No, it's been abandoned for a while.
Okay. Well, thanks for inviting us.
Oh, yeah, no, thank you for coming along to do the podcast, to do the seances.
Yeah, I'm excited. Contacting the other side.
Podcasting. Yeah. Podcasting and seances.
It's a great Halloween treat.
Yeah,
What a combination.
Yeah.
Also, your Ouija board seems to have two J's and no E.
Tom. This isn't the branded Mattel one, is it?
No.
You understand that Mattel... it's only Mattel who are allowed to make Ouija boards. Everything else has to be occult board.
Oh, I did not know that.
Most of them have two J's.
Seeing as I just did this on paper with a load of Sharpies, and I don't know what the letter J is.
Oh, Tom.
I guess it's an occult board. Well, like occult paper.
Yeah,
it didn't work, so it's not anything.
Well, yeah. It's just a bit of paper with a load of letters on.
Yeah, but it's a spooky bit of paper with a load of letters on.
Thanks for crushing my soul, guys.
It's okay, no problem. No. It was a bit weird getting here. We had to get a bus because we were going to walk, and then we realised it was just far too far to walk. So we tried to get a bus, and we kept hailing buses, and they all just drove right past us.
Really?
It's really awful.
That's weird.
Sheffield, I'll tell you, brutest bus drivers I've ever met.
See, I find them really nice.
I had no problem getting a bus here.
Alright, it must be nice for you guys.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Everyone's nice in Sheffield.
That's been my experience so far, except the bloody bus drivers.
Switch it with the tram, they just stop at every stop, it's great.
Yeah, I'll try that next.
Anyway, thanks for coming on to the ghostly spooky episode of.
Is this a spooky one?
Yeah, it's for Halloween. We thought we'd come out here to the abandoned church, do do a podcast, do some seances, a whole scary time.
Yeah, that sounds great. I love doing seances. Have you guys done seances before? Are you experienced?
This is pretty much we've been practicing today, but other than that, we were
doing a few rehearsals. Yeah, we tried it like 5 times, I think. Well, now you're here, we'll try it a 6th time, and shame you guys couldn't get here sooner.
Just the buses thing. But it gave you time to practice, and that's good.
Did you get candles?
We've got these burning piles of trash around the room.
Oh, is that that smell?
Yeah.
Mm. I really like candles. I think they're like a better seance.
It's kind of like a candle. There is some wax in there.
I think it's nice. I mean, it's you know, it gives atmosphere, the flickering lights against the wall, the ghostly shadows that it casts.
I'm just saying, nice church, and then garbage piles of stuff doesn't look very attractive.
Ghost town getting that way.
Yeah, it's good for you.
Just leave it. Probably best if, for the spooky atmosphere, if there was like a sense of, ooh, there could be ghosts in here.
Yeah.
You never know.
Like, there could be ghosts anywhere. Anywhere at all.
So yeah, like, well, let's just throw the seance occult paper that I've crudely drawn.
Yeah, let's put that to the side.
Put that to the side. Let's get some podcast pitching done.
Welcome to Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... Dr. Spookums, the Ghost Scientist.
Okay.
Thank you.
Who's that, sorry?
That was from Fingers to Hand.
Fingers to Hand.
On
it's been
Twitter.
A while since we've heard from Fingers, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's for our ghostly-themed titles this week.
Mm-hmm.
We asked you on Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/Lives of Pitch Podcast and facebook.com. But delete then facebook.com and Twitter.
right. Then start again.
And then
Control A backspace.
facebook.com/Lives of Pitch Podcast and Twitter @Lives of Pitch Show. We asked you for ghost titles. We ask you for a genre every week, and you came out in droves
To give us some ghost themed horror titles for our third episode of the Halloween month.
Some say that we get too into Halloween. I say... Ooh!
I say ooh! So, this week, joining us in an abandoned church to do some seancing.
A beautiful church.
A beautiful abandoned church.
Except for the garbage fires.
Patrick and Theo.
Hello! From Plot Bubble and Surrounds.
Plot Bubble and etc. Yes, I'm from the Plot Bubble Podcasting Network, and Theo's also here.
I'm from the Beyond.
you're Plot Bubble adjacent.
I'm Strike adjacent as well.
Oh yeah. Also, we had Bobby and Alex on just last week from Strike, so you're also.
Let's not talk about what happened to them last week, shall we?
Listen, don't ask.
They're still down there.
Don't ask. Don't.
Does this podcast have a high fatality rate?
I wouldn't worry.
It's fine.
Okay. I mean, I'm not worried.
It's fine, don't worry.
You won't die.
No.
You won't die after this podcast.
I've recorded a few podcasts in my time, and most of them don't carry that disclaimer.
Well,
it's
this
kind
one,
of a given.
So this one does.
That makes it more reassuring.
Nothing happened.
This one has the disclaimer.
I mean,
you won't die afterwards.
Last week and the week before, nothing happened.
I can't prove you wrong. I haven't heard the show.
Yeah.
Fair well, enough. Listen, right? Listen to me now. Other podcasts can't claim this. I can. You will not die directly after this show.
Well, listen could be a good catchphrase for a podcast.
Well, listen. Let me tell you something.
Or just a good title for a podcast. Yeah. Well, listen.
Well, listen.
Right. Welcome to Well, Listen. I'm Patrick.
So, do you want to hear some horrible mentions?
Horrible mentions.
Horrible mentions.
Honorable mentions.
Okay. We're still struggling for a snappy one on that.
All right.
Yeah.
Spooky mentions?
From Paul Anthony, we've got Mistakes Were Made. That was a very big contender for this week's title.
Mistakes Were Made.
Wow.
Would that have been the
that would have
one?
Been the vague one. Yeah.
How are we spelling made?
MAD. Why did I look at that? Right.
You looked at your sheet.
I think if it was MAID, that would be a lot of fun.
Certainly gives us more of something to go on. What are we going to do with Mistakes Were Made, Paul Hanson? Mistakes Were Made. All right. So, give me a star. Who's in this movie?
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt is playing sort of the cute, bumbling Chris Pratt, where he's, you know, being so silly and like so much physical comedy, you know.
He's so silly.
He's really clumsy and silly, but also kind of wise and handsome, but not real handsome. He's always like getting into scrapes, and the movie is just him getting into those scrapes, but every single time that he does, we see the knock-on effects of those scrapes.
Right.
And somebody fucking dies.
So is Mr. Bean, except that a partway
with
through...
With murderous consequences.
This is M. Night Shyamalan, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At some point, a ghost, like the ghost of Christmas past, apart from just the ghost of mistakes past,
yeah,
comes up to him and puts their hand through his head and goes, do you understand how bad this has got?
Flashback to previous scenes that we saw,
yeah,
but now with the end tacked on where we see...
They're all dying.
His silly antics, his comedy bits of just fucking kill people.
This seems like very Butterfly Effect.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
Like, you know, he bumbles through a coffee shop, spills something, and Ashton Kutcher's got no arms.
Yeah,
exactly. And because of that, he dies.
Yes.
Like, but they are also...
Oh, no. He loses his arms. It's just a ghost of his arms.
I feel like there are... It's more... direct than the Butterfly Effect.
Mm.
It's only one or two steps removed. So,
because it's only
being,
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt being irresponsible is what people calling people to die.
Yeah.
So, for instance, he like accidentally runs across a road. He thinks the light's green, but it was whatever.
Yeah.
And
the other colour.
And the
other
colour. A car screeches to a halt, and then one behind it swerves off the road
And he sees none of it because he's too
ravine.
Yeah.
I mean, he moved to Ravine City, you know.
Yeah.
Chasing a drop.
That's where this film is set, Ravine City.
Ravine City, USA. Chasing his dreams.
000 days since the last accident.
000 days. Since the last person fell into a ravine.
Plummeted to their doom.
In like the city hall, there's a portrait of the founding mayor with the caption, "This was an awful idea."
I like the on the sign, right? Yeah. This is a little Edgar Wright background bit.
Yeah.
On the sign, the 000 of the days since someone plummeted into a ravine doesn't have, you know, they've got those ticker things that you would increase every day, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have one. It's always zero, right?
Yeah.
But below that, they've got population, and that has the ticker. It's going down.
It's just constantly going down.
Somebody drives past the sign, the population ticker goes up, and then about 3 seconds later,
into a ravine.
they drive out a shot, and you just hear this... screeching of brakes, and then just flicks back down.
There's
again.
Quite a lot of mistakes in this movie.
Right, there's a guy.
It's actually a 10-minute scene of no speech, just focused on this sign. It's a single shot.
But it's
an Edgar Wright movie.
There's just a guy on a ladder. This is like a very, very short. This can be 10 seconds.
Yeah.
A short, like the guy is just adding. He looks over his shoulder. There's this car coming. He's on the sign. He's like, oh, there we go. Looks at the car. Flips down it down to like an extra 5, and then the car drives out of shot. You hear screeching of brakes.
Guy looks over,
and then the guy looks over, and then goes, and then flips it back to zero.
Ladder drops out of shot. Man drops out of shot.
Ravine
and
City.
He grabs up his hand, and as he's falling down, he knocks the ticker down one more as he falls.
Ravine City, welcome to the city of fatal accidents.
The ravine capital of the world. Oh boy. So does Chris Pratt get his comeuppance? What happens?
I think it's just a film where loads of people die.
No,
it's like Saw, but with...
Do we get to know any of them?
Blundering accidents.
Right, no, I think this film makes a sharp left turn halfway through.
Go on.
So, I think...
A sharp left turn
into the ravine.
Into the ravine.
I think you get... Yeah. So, I think you get... You get Chris Pratt being visited by this ghost who shows him all the people he's killing.
Sure.
Right? He leaves his house suddenly, careful of everything. Right. Mm. He's already gone through that entire. He's changed his mind. Now I'm careful.
Yes.
Right. He's trying his best.
Mean, like, are you saying like his haphazardness?
Yeah.
Is like.
No, he's just taking
out
more
of
care.
Choice.
No, he's just taking more care.
Oh, fair.
Right.
Enough.
So he's actively trying to be careful.
Mm.
And he's worried about everything that he could possibly be doing. And then someone taps him on the back. Or he's walking past this alleyway or a doorway.
Hmm.
He gets pulled into the doorway.
Oh.
And there's someone with like a mask on, right? Huh. And they're like, you can't stop causing these accidents.
Oh my God. Why? What will happen?
The old one will be displeased.
Oh no!
Something lives at the bottom of these ravines.
Oh dear.
There's a cult in this town Something to keep lurks. People coming and dying.
He's been their best agent without knowing it for the last 12 years.
Why do you think he got this dream job?
Yeah. They've been engineering his life. They've been scouting in New York City looking for the world's clumsiest man. And they offered him his dream job in Ravine City, USA.
He recruited Mr. Bean.
The opening scene is Rowan Atkinson falling into a ravine.
Just so we know he's on board with the...
He knows what's up.
Yeah.
Does this mean that the cult, having to advertise a ravine city of death to wider USA, are all, like, advertising experts?
Yes, definitely.
Which leads into the question, is Sarah Michelle Gellar behind that mask?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, yes.
For sure.
But also, Chris Pratt, like, has been given this amazing advertising job.
There it is.
Like, that's what brought him to the city.
He's torn between, like, his dream job and all his commitments and also not murdering people daily.
Exactly.
Like, he has to work out which of those two is more important.
And then there's a bit of a Fight Club element where he's sort of, like, being drawn into this cult thing and these people are... Suddenly, he goes outside and his entire neighbourhood's being really smiley to him and he doesn't quite know why, given that he caused all those deaths. It's a sort of Truman Show vibe with everyone. It doesn't know who's on in the cult, what's going on. It's great. It's a great film. You should go and watch it.
And so, at the end... Yeah. The FBI finally arrive, having figured out what's going on.
Oh yeah, B plot of an investigator.
Oh for sure, just like 100. Dulé Hill plays the investigator at the FBI.
Who?
Dulé Hill.
You just want to make the West Wing happen.
I did. Yeah,
Dulé Hill.
Dulé Hill. He's
Dulé Hill.
Yeah, he plays Charlie in the West Wing.
And nothing else since.
That's not true. He was in Psych, a show that nobody's seen.
You know, Dulé Hill.
Dulé Hill
from. The doctor from the West Wing.
Nope.
Dr. Dulé Hill.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Christ.
He can talk to the politicians.
Oh, boy. All right. No. And Dulé Hill finally arrives. Look him up, for God's sake. Realises what's going on, heads to Ravine City, USA, where Chris Pratt, who, you know, has been, you know, no idea what's going on for the longest time in this movie, acts completely shocked. But then when he's taken into custody, you see the flicker of a smile on his lips, and a couple of scenes are played back in a new light where it's revealed Chris Pratt knew what was going on
the whole time. And then he's in the back of he's in the back of this police car, this police wagon, and you can see it, as it pulls away, he's got a smile on his face, and then suddenly, like, fade to black. Screeching of screeching of brakes.
Barrier being burst through.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I want to watch that movie so bad. not just because I want Dulé Hill to get more work.
From Joe Thompson, we've got Poltergoose.
Oh my God.
Terrifying. That is genuinely my worst nightmare. A goose that I can't, like, flee from. Because it can go through walls.
Theo, you hate geese, right?
Well, I've got a strong theme already.
Okay, go on.
Right. Think like animated children's film, but not like modern animated children's film where it's all 3D. I mean, like the classic ones, that Snowman one. Like, the one that Tom Hanks was in with the train.
Polar Express.
I would say Polar Express is pretty modern.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, think classic 2D animated style.
Like Snow White.
Mm,
And Sleeping Beauty. And
yeah. And it's going to come out around Christmas time.
I am.
And it's... It's this family of geese that sort of anthropomorphize. They talk and stuff, and they
have
this. Yeah, it's cute. They have this beautiful life.
Mm. Who plays head goose?
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling plays head goose. Dame
Helen
Mirren.
I was waiting for it.
Dame Helen Mirren plays the old lady goose.
Oh, okay. All right. Big get for this 2D movie that nobody's gonna watch.
It's a major
motion picture.
Yeah, where they get all the big stars in just to be voice actors.
With the amount of marketing we're putting behind this, it's gonna
with
get
with a name like
tickets.
Poltergoose.
Yeah.
How could it fail? Go on.
Well, animated movie, all friendly. Dame Helen Mirren's in it.
Yeah.
She dies.
Oh.
It's a lesson for the children about death, about accepting how it can be a beautiful thing, and they're celebrating her life and everything. And then...
Like the start of Up.
This is the first 10 minutes long. The first 10 minutes is basically up, but with
for
geese.
Yeah.
And it's Ryan Gosling and Helen Mirren, and then it. Like, it's
then shit takes a left turn.
It's.
Did you ever wish that the first 10 minutes of Up could be tedious? Because that's what the.
Right, you say it takes a left turn.
Instead of the latter half, the latter eighty-nine minutes of Up being quite tedious.
All I can imagine for this left turn, right, is that Dame Helen Mirren's death wasn't an accident, right? And the rest of the film is Homeward Bound meets Kill Bill.
The best X meets Y of all time. That is incredible. I want Michael Fassbender to be solving the case.
Yeah.
Is Dame Helen Mirren having an opportunity to be in a movie where she gets to kill shitloads of people?
Okay. Wait, who does she kill?
By pushing objects.
Yeah, okay. Like she's throwing, like, you know, a goose pencil case around.
I'm just loving the goose idea chairs. Of
Wait, what?
Goose chairs! You know goose chairs!
We've all seen goose chairs.
At one time she drowns someone in a pedalo because the swan's close enough.
It's a kid. I think it's that kid from Finding Nemo, you know, the one who kills fish.
Yes.
Yeah. It's that kid.
Yeah.
And... she's throwing rocks at geese and she kills Helen Mirren, and then Helen Mirren's goose.
Well, that's
poltergoose goes like round their house and terrifies them, and there's just I think about 40 minutes of her just going fucking wild in this house.
Wild,
so,
sure.
But you can't see the goose anywhere, so it's just the noise of a goose going wah, 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 while shit is just falling off and like
a wholly unpleasant viewing experience.
It's like two out of five. Those scenes are shot like Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Handheld cameras.
So you've got this weird sort of Littlest Hobo Homeward Bound sort of stuff on the way.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's handcuffed.
Incredibly gratuitous violence. Like, with this very aggressive soundscape.
And all of it's 2D.
Yeah. It's all 2D hand-drawn.
Animated.
Just like they used to. Like they used to in the old days. You remember? Old movies.
When they drew that handheld footage.
Yeah. Hand-drawn, handheld. Handled poorly.
Mistakes were made.
Mishandheld.
The winner of this week's Yes, Very Clever award goes to the Weird Maxim for his title, Up.
There's so many implications.
Yeah, I know.
Hang on. So, wait.
I mean, I say yes, very clever. That. He's just...
Seriously, very clever. What if Up is a ghost movie?
What if it's Up told from the perspective of the dead wife?
Yeah.
I mean, but what if... No.
The existing movie.
Rewind. What if the existing movie Up is about a ghost? Two ghosts of a dead man and a boy.
And 600 ghost balloons.
Whose home got bulldozed by a construction company... Or died in a construction accident.
Sorry, Tom, can you laugh more into your microphone so I can feel validated? Thank you.
600 ghost balloons.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
600
ghost balloons. They're all grey and they have little spooky faces drawn on them and they all go, ooh, they go past.
And the winner of our Twitter competition, where we give you titles each week to pitch to us. So this week's title was Ruben's Boots, and this week's winner is Ross_Originals, who's given us, Ruben acquires a pair of talking boots that grant wishes. The wishes all work, no catches, but with every wish, they consume one of his toes.
You got little teeth.
Yeah. Like,
and then they go,
toes!
Tasty toe! For the...
Couldn't he just wish for more toes?
For the boots guy!
I guess.
He could, but it's still incredibly painful.
Yeah, and also then he'd have like 20 toes and be a fucking weirdo.
Just wish it doesn't have any teeth.
Yeah.
Then he'd be getting a toe massage every time he wished.
This would be the second wish. And he was like, I wish you wouldn't eat my toes. Done.
And it was made 20 seconds after the first wish.
There's a weird thing of wish granting footwear. Isn't
all
there?
About it.
Williams Wish Wellingtons, yeah. And the ruby slippers from The Wizard of Oz.
They don't really grant you wishes. They just sort of story take you home.
Well, that was her wish.
I mean, I would buy those.
So, thanks everyone for your titles, and thanks for Ross for giving us that movie pitch.
Yeah.
Pitching 140 characters.
If you want to get involved in that, go over to Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show, and every week we'll put that out. These are all taken from my old list. For those who've heard the first few episodes of the show, we used to do this competitively, as in I used to give Tom a title and he would give me one. Tom would always struggle to make one on the day. I have... reams.
What do people win if they enter that competition?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Yeah.
If you think this is worth any amount of money, or you'd just like to help us do more of it, then go over to patreon.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast to give us some lovely support and get on this following list of incredible supporters. That is Ross_Originals, Brandon Spanky Mills, Adam Owen, My Waste of Talent, and Joe Hegarty.
Thank you guys for your support. If you want to get on that list, go to patreon.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast. So this week's title is from Fingers to Hand. Thank you, Fingers to Hand. Dr. Spookums, the Ghost Scientist. Question one. Who plays Dr. Spookums?
Do they help?
Deborah Messing.
I don't know who that is.
Deborah from Will and Grace.
Yeah.
Grace from Will and Grace.
Grace. All right, yeah. Grace. I can see it.
Okay.
Deborah Messing. She's got dyed grey hair.
Yeah.
And
she's wearing a lab coat.
All frazzled up. And she's wearing a lab coat. And she kicks. The first scene is a door. Oh no. A painting on a wall.
Sure.
Right. And just a foot. A kind of sensible, but still slightly tall, high-heeled shoe comes through the wall, through the kind of chipboard wall.
Yeah.
And just another fist knocks the painting off and comes through, and just Deborah Messing rips through this wall. Okay. And just says, "Where are they?"
It's at a gallery, and people looking at the painting. It's midday. People looking at the painting, and she's like, "Where are they?" In a lab coat.
Yeah. The police come off to escort her away, and as she's going, she's protesting through exposition. "But I need to study the ghosts. I'm a ghost scientist, don't you know?"
Yeah.
And
cut to opening title, Dr. Spookums, the Ghost Scientist.
Which is then revealed to actually not only be the opening title, but also the plaque on her door in her office, which swings over in a seamless transition.
And this is Repo Men opening the door to her office. She's now in jail for breaking into through a wall of a gallery.
Yeah, multiple offences, I'm sure.
Killing a dog. The gallery owner's dog.
It was trying to get a hot dog.
No, she just hit it with the wall. And
Jesus.
Repo Men just carelessly touching occult objects.
Yeah, they're putting them all in boxes. Yeah. And because she's so they're taking it away.
Oh my god, I know where this is going. This is the court hearing where she has to prove the existence of ghosts.
Yes. That's what it's all building up to.
Isn't that what happened in real life with Mattel and Ouija?
So,
I think so.
No, it was.
Quite possibly.
There was something.
There was
like
some
that.
Court case that basically made people trying to be legally distinct from Ouija. They were like, they have to prove the existence.
I mean, we can tell from the evidence in front of us who lost that.
Yeah.
Who lost that case. Her straight laced lawyer, played by
Peter Cushing in CGI.
Yeah. Peter Cushing explains.
CGI Peter Cushing
explains to her all of these antics you've been going through the last few weeks. As there's got to be a reason for it.
Is this in the back room where he's
it's
giving
probably
her
in the cell, like
in the
like,
cell, yeah,
the case straight.
Yeah, where they're getting it straight. They're saying,
"You've got to get your case straight.
I'm paying your bail this time, but the court hearing is coming up for real, and you've got to be there. You've got to be able to prove why you're doing what you're doing.
CJ Cushing is also her father.
His partner.
Her lawyer and her father.
But
yeah.
his business partner, because obviously lawyers always come in twos or more, has like his, what do they call them? Are they called partners? Partners of a lawyer firm?
Partnership. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's Cushing & Co.
His lawyer firm.
Sorry, CGI Cushing & Co.
His partner, Sandra Bullock, is trying to get her to plead insanity.
Yes.
She knows, she's like, there's no way you're winning this. Hmm. But Peter Cushing, being the father of Deborah Messing, he's got faith in her.
Yeah, I believe in you. I know that you can prove ghosts.
They're pushing insanity. I'm quite liking the idea that he's been wanting to put her in an asylum for a while.
That's revealed later, for sure.
Okay.
Like, later on, the twist in the tale here, well, one of the many, many twists that I'm sure are going to come up in the course of this movie, is that Peter Cushing, CGI Peter Cushing, never believed in Deborah Messing. He never believed in Dr. Spookums.
He was pushing
Hold on, he's, hold on, hold on. We've just established that Peter Cushing is Deborah Messing's father.
Yeah.
We've established that Deborah Messing's character is called Dr. Spookums.
Yeah.
Is he Mr. Spookums Sr.?
No, she changed her name by Deepal.
Okay.
Yeah. to kind of garner interest for her ghost detective agency.
What if she got married to a Mr. Spookums who then died?
Whoa! Shit!
All right. Yeah.
Played in flashback by.
What's his face?
Yeah.
The
Brendan Fraser.
Yes.
Yes.
Is that genuinely what you were thinking?
Yeah. Wow.
We all went Fraser.
High five.
Tom and Theo, amazingly in sync as ever.
We all went Fraser that one.
Can't resist
Still with the tattoos in the movie, like,
sure.
Full...
Yeah, Brendan Fraser in full Brendan Fraser mode in flashback, because he's already dead by the time the movie starts.
Yes.
All right, so what does she do? What does Deborah Messing do to prove...
Here's the thing. You know how Peter Cushing, we're going to eventually reveal that he didn't believe in her?
Yeah, he never believed
in her. He was kind of pretending to believe in her because he wanted to look like a good dad for his own career.
Yeah, for sure. Ooh. for sure.
He wanted to prove that he was better than the partner. The partner wanted to take the easy legal route of insanity. He wanted to be like, no, I can prove that my insane daughter is innocent.
Like that bet on Trading Places.
Yeah.
I love how this is meant to be a horror film, but at the moment we're just describing courtroom drama.
Cushing Bullock, attorney at law. Okay, well, let's get spooky, right? Now she has to go. She has to go into the field, right? She has to find the existence of ghosts. She has to prove it.
We've already introduced one ghost.
Yes, definitely.
We're already introduced the ghost of Brendan Fraser. That's probably the reveal at the end of the... When she's been hunting ghosts for so long, she's starting to find leads to more and more ghostly things, but she can't find proof. And then the thing that kind of turns her away from looking too deeply into it is Brendan Fraser. She finds Brendan Fraser's ghost.
Let's get into the nitty-gritty. How does she do that? Does she have... Is it Ghostbusters? Does she have special equipment?
Well, kind of, but it's mainly hearsay.
Or is it more mystical?
She's invented like a more scientific Ouija board. Like, it's got like test tubes that move around.
Well, she's got an assistant who's going around with a camera. So, like, in the court, it's one of those films where the court case looks back on shit.
Millie
on
Bobby Brown,
Too young.
Okay.
Millie Bobby Brown.
Sophie Turner,
good.
Wait, no, you guys always cast Sophie Turner and Maisie Williams.
She's a good actor.
No, you can't cast
Sophie Turner is
no,
done.
You can't cast them.
Majority.
No, Jenny told me you can't cast Maisie Williams.
Tell me, alright, give me another youngish female actress.
Aidy Bryant from Saturday Night Live.
Fuck is that?
She's Aidy Bryant.
No, what is Saturday Night Live?
Are you being ironic?
What is a television? Tell me.
I've got it! Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, okay.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll settle for Jennifer Lawrence.
Who?
Oh my god.
You know who Jennifer Lawrence is, Matt. We've been through this so many times.
I still think Jenny's not going to be happy.
All right, someone called fucking Jemminga Balls.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jemminga Balls?
You said it on me. You made up a character called Jemminga.
No, her assistant is Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
But no, because doesn't she have to be like wide-eyed and optimistic about the possibility of ghosts?
Yeah, it's a stretch for her, but she'll make it.
She'll make it.
I don't think she can do it. I don't think she can.
Let's go back to Maisie Williams then.
Maisie Williams.
No, fuck it. It's Aubrey Plaza.
I'm putting my foot down. No Game of Thrones.
It's fucking Aubrey Plaza being bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on nothing. I'm already in talks with her agent.
I'm going to start again.
Yeah, go on.
Right. Her assistant, played by Natalie Dormer.
Oh, yeah, it'll
do.
I think that's absolutely
it.
That's what our casting agent said.
She's
as well.
Not busy anymore.
Nope, it's true.
So, Natalie Dormer is filming everything. Right, she's like filmed everything, and like she's the main evidence,
documenting.
Is it a lot of handycam footage in the courtroom?
Yeah, yeah, it's paranormal activity basically.
Well, we don't get to the courtroom until the very end. That's the climax.
No. The courtroom is the main thing. We just keep flashing back.
Oh,
through
social network.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I mean, fine. I guess. So, you want to go that way?
Social network.
Fine. I like that movie.
It's a great film.
I love about Facebook.
And what's like? Well, we're obviously sort of setting up. Deborah Messing is looking for proof of her husband Brendan Fraser's existence as a ghost.
But she's looking for ghosts in general as well.
Yeah, she doesn't even know that Brendan Fraser's kicking around.
She's like, studying them. Yeah. She's an ectologist.
It's kind of why she got into it, but she's sort of that kind of
like Kurt Mulder in the X-Files.
Yeah.
Or what's his name out of Back to the Future?
Doc.
No, the kid one.
Marty.
What's his name, the actor?
Michael J. Fox.
In,
oh, can we find a place for Michael J. Fox?
The Haunters?
He's retired.
He's got a film where he's got his friends with ghosts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What on earth?
Michael J. Fox is the...
Judge.
Yes.
Nice.
Two people said it at the same time. Yep. It is law. The life's a pitch rules.
I need to put down my judge hammer.
I think it's called a banger.
I mean, so far this movie is a banger.
It's a fucking banger.
I've got a sort of mid-movie like tempted resolution that gets like pulled away from under you, which is she makes contact with Brendan Fraser and she's like, this is perfect. Like, you could just come out. I could take a Ouija board into court and summon you, and you could come out.
Yeah.
And he is actually holding a grudge, and that's why he's still a ghost. Oh. And he's holding the grudge against her for an old marital spat.
That's finally what turns it into a horror movie.
And he, not only does he refuse to help her, but he immediately starts haunting her. Yes, he's found her. He's been looking for her this whole time.
Yes.
She's broken the veil through to him.
Oh, shit. Yes. This is like, it's the thing she always wanted.
Yeah.
But now she's got it. It's going to become her undoing.
She's letting go.
So they've got all these bits from her office, all these bits of evidence to prove that she's like crazy.
Yeah.
And that they go through all the stories and stuff. And Natalie Dormer's bringing out all the video equipment and... All those scenes are quite scary. I mean, like, there's one where there was, like, a haunted doll or something like that.
Yeah.
And the ventriloquist doll comes out with a knife.
Yes.
I think I've got the climax of this film.
Well, we have to come to that.
Yeah, but I'm still working on how we get there. But I've definitely got the end.
I mean, the middle bit is always the hardest.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. So we get all this spooky evidence.
Yeah, through sort of handheld camera flashbacks. Natalie Dormer and Deborah Messing teaming up to do some ghost hunting.
Every time they try and... find evidence of just placid, kind of normal paranormal activity, Brendan Fraser comes and ruins it. Either destroys their footage or threatens them bodily.
Because he wants her in jail.
Yeah.
Like or
he wants her to suffer, yeah.
I really want the spat to be about something ridiculously mundane.
Left the spoon, after making
licked
tea.
Licked a spoon and put it back in the drawer.
Yeah, yeah.
She threw a spoon in the bin instead of a yogurt pot.
Yes. But it was his favourite spoon. And the one that doesn't match.
We see that moment where that happens no less than 7 times. In increasingly slower motion.
And more washed out.
Over the course of the movie.
But it's something that happens in the background of a scene.
It might be part of the cold open.
Yeah, like, yeah.
One of those flashbacks, that's what
happens. But no, it's not cut away to.
It's because he didn't have his favourite spoon that he died.
Wait. Matt, follow that impulse. How does that work? Why does him not having his spoon kill him?
Because
there's a scene where he's like, honey, where's my favourite spoon? It's the spoon with my face printed on it. Where is it? And she's like, I don't know. Where is my spoon, Deborah? Where is my spoon?
Sorry, go on.
He strikes her.
Yeah.
Oh, turns dark.
Yeah.
And storms off, just grabs a spoon out of the drawer, furiously eating his yogurt with the wrong spoon. Accidentally, it goes too far, and because it doesn't have the wide bit on the end with his face on it, it's just a narrow-handled spoon, it goes right down his throat.
And he's coughing and spluttering and he's stumbling and he's about to cross the road to the bus stop where he just a bus straight into him.
All right, that's how
Brendan Fraser died.
Going back to the present.
This
movie is so like multi-layered.
Yeah.
The narrative sort of timelines are so
complex. It's a real masterclass in narrative storytelling.
So the Zed plot is.
Back to sort of the courtroom time. The court time. Peter Cushing, CGI Peter Cushing, and Sandra Bullock are working through the case.
As well as Natalie Dormer, I think Natalie Dormer, because.
Oh, is she on side?
Dr. Spookles, is it?
Dr. Spookums.
Dr. Spookums. Dr. Spookums is. I need to remember that because of Beepums, the treehouse robot.
Beepums, the treehouse robot.
Anyway, so Dr. Spookums is getting increasingly erratic.
Yeah.
It's getting hard for Natalie Dormer to follow her, but Natalie Dormer looks up to Dr. Spookums, so she's trying to take the small amounts of evidence, scraps of evidence they have, and bring them back to Peter Cushing.
Oh, which obviously Spookums sees as a betrayal, right?
Yeah.
Because she doesn't want to be proven insane. But that's the scene. The same scene where Natalie Dormer's assistant, turns over to that dark side. Same scene where we discover that CGI Peter Cushing has always had bad intentions.
Yeah.
All right.
Are we getting to the home stretch here?
Almost. Okay. I think there's still a little bit because I do want, I don't know how it happens, but I do want Dr. Spookums to kill Sandra Bullock for some reason. I want that to be like, I think maybe.
Wait,
she needs
hang
to
on, Sandra Bullock is in this movie?
Like six.
Yeah, she's Peter Cushing's partner in the law firm.
It's Cushing and Bullock.
Right. And Cushing and Bullock.
CGI Cushing and
Bullock. What we didn't know was that Brendan Fraser was having an affair with Sandra Bullock.
Yes.
So,
and he says something that reveals it during one of his hauntings.
Yeah.
She is actually pretty smart. She puts two and two together. It's probably a long whiteboard montage.
Yeah.
She works out.
No, fuck whiteboards.
Nope.
This is cork boards with pins and string material here.
And then she puts a cork. The end of that montage is her symbolically putting a cork into the face of Sandra Bullock, which is her.
You don't put corks
in. You don't put a cork in a cork board.
You put pins in a cork board.
Pins. You know what I mean? Yo, I'm tired. she puts a pin in Sandra Bullock's face, and that's her symbolically going out to plan. Later, Sandra Bullock turns up dead.
Yeah.
We know why she did it.
Yeah.
The audience knows, but everybody's trying to work out this case. At some point, things have to come to a head. Dr. Spookums has to go on the run.
Yes, so she's on the run. Well, the thing is that she isn't on the run from the cops. She's on the run from Brendan Fraser, right? The cops are chasing her, but she's on the flipping run, like, from Brendan Fraser. And Brendan Fraser here. And I think the thing is that Brendan Fraser, like, Sandra Bullock was stabbed to death with Brendan Fraser's spoon.
Yes.
Mm. And, yeah.
Think about that. Her eyes were gouged out by the Brendan Fraser.
Laughing at the fact he said Brendan Fraser.
Brendan
and no one said anything.
Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser.
Firstly, that is my new children's cartoon. Brendan Fraser. It's a fire pit. like a sconce
for fire.
A fire sconce on the wall that's always happy to see you.
A calcifer from Hell's Moon Castle. Yeah,
Brendan Fraser. Anyway, so. She was killed with his spoon.
Yes.
Right? So that's the middle of the road evidence they find, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
they're
yeah.
like, well, she must have done it. She's on the run.
No one else could have this spoon.
Right? Meanwhile, and this definitely is the home stretch, because meanwhile, this court case is going on while she's on the run, right? She's zooming about the city. She's stolen a car.
Everyone else is so tied up in the other subplots, only Natalie Dormer shows up
in the court. Yeah, they're in the court. Wait.
Was she in the courtroom and then left to go on the run?
It's a week-long court case.
Yeah,
it's all happening long.
She went on the run and then, like...
This is clearly a complex case. They need a lot of time to deliberate.
But...
This is proving the existence of an afterlife.
It's the trial of the century.
It got some press, and then they had to put it in recess to find some evidence, right? So anyway, she's stolen a car because Brendan Fraser has assumed, from all of her tearings of the veil trying to find this evidence, Brendan Fraser's got stronger and stronger and stronger, and now he's assumed the form of a ghost bus trying to drive her down.
Oh, right? The bus that once killed him.
Yeah, so she's running away, right? She's... the car chase between a ghost bus and her, and like she takes a sneaky shortcut through a thing, and then he just drives straight through the buildings, killing everyone within, but
yes.
Like sort of, he's a ghost, so he can pass through everything.
Every time he kills someone, they appear on the bus. And
yes.
Cheering him on.
Yeah, kill her, Brendan! Kill her! Yeah, kill her! It's
Owen Wilson.
Yeah, kill her! Come on! Yeah! And Nick Cage is also.
Yeah.
Yeah, kill her! Come on, man! Kill her!
I mean, that's a perfect cameo spot.
I'm Stanley. I didn't invent so many beloved characters for you not to kill this one.
I just cuts through him randomly, just like, have you killed her yet?
That would be bad timing because while Stanley would have filmed his cameo, he would have died between then and the release of the movie.
Yeah,
it would be in very poor taste.
Very poor taste. We cut that bit.
Yeah,
but
that's why we're going to cut this bit of the podcast.
It would forever go to the sort of reels of this scene that was never aired.
Yeah.
Ever.
Anyway, right.
Transparent Stanley after his death yelling, kill her!
This is the car chase, right? They chase all the way to the steps of the courthouse, right? Where
there is nothing terrifying about this game.
Yes, there is.
There's nothing horror.
Ghostbusters is sort of a horror. she comes up to the steps of the courthouse. She runs in, right? So then, like, this court case is going on. They're about to decide, in her absence, that she's guilty of A, murder, B, whatever the thing she was charged with.
Lying about ghosts.
That federal crime.
And C, like, breaking down those walls and not chasing the ghost. It was criminal damage, right? So she's about to be charged with all three of those, found insane or whatever. She bursts in through the courtroom doors, running towards the front of the thing.
Michael J. Fox looking on in horror.
Looking on in horror. He's like, what are you doing here? And then,
great Michael J. Fox. really good.
What are you, why are you here? And so this ghost bus just fucks these doors, right? Just smashes through them. And then, he's like, oh my god, it's all real! And he's like, I find you innocent! Bang, 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 right?
Ghost bus disappears.
The bus sort of like disintegrates into pieces as it comes towards the head of the courtroom, and this spoon just flies back and digs itself into the wood just behind Michael J. Fox's head. And they're like,
And you didn't do the murder either!
It all fits. And then it cuts to credits, man!
No coda.
Credit,
no cleanup.
Credits roll past the spoon in the wall.
That's the end of the movie! There's no explanation! There's no cleanup! There's no resolution for Brendan Fraser!
No
closure!
Needed. No explanation!
There's no twist in the tale!
Dr.
None
Spookums!
None of that archaic shit!
The film called Dr. Spookums, the Ghost Scientist!
That is stupid! That is stupid movie.
I've
watched it. Dr. Spookums.
Wow, we did it, everybody.
Yeah, we made a real movie.
You got it to the end.
So is that on DVD now? Is that how
the
straight to DVD.
Great. So while all that's happening, the FBI...
Right.
I'm joking.
Do
it doesn't need any more subplots.
Oh, boy.
The ZZ plot.
Oh, boy.
ZZ top.
All right.
ZZ Top are in it as well. They're the jury.
Just the three of them.
Yeah. So minimalist jury.
ZZ Top and the jury.
Three beardy men.
Yeah. Nobody else would show up because they've all been affected in some way by Deborah Messing's character. They can't judge impartially. Only ZZ Top, who were never there.
Say they were never there.
Mm.
Anyway, yeah.
So that was... Dr. Spookums, the Ghost Scientist.
Yeah. Who suggested that?
That was from Fingers to Hand. Thanks, Fingers,
thanks
for that roller coaster movie.
That was a real
roller coaster.
Oh shit!
No, don't worry.
Thank you, Fingers to Hand, for that title. Dr. Spookums, the Ghost Scientist. Yeah, if you want to find more episodes like this, you go to soundcloud.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast. You can also find it on iTunes, Acast, basically anywhere where there's like an RSS feed plug, podcast app, something like that.
Yeah, you can do that. You can also go over to facebook.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast. You can go over to Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show. You can go to Instagram at Life's a Pitch Show. Follow us in all those places and potentially tell your friends about the show. We don't grow if you don't show your friends the show, because it's not like we got a lot of budget clearly to put on.
They're lying, guys. This abandoned church is a slick operation.
It's for real.
I mean, if we did have a budget, we wouldn't be pitching them. We'd be making these films.
We'd have been able to afford a proper Mattel Ouija board.
Oh yeah, yeah. Instead of my crudely drawn
spooky board.
Yeah.
Spook zone.
Spooko paper.
Spooko paper, yeah.
It's actually pronounced Spook Popper.
Guys, how can we find the Plot Bubble Network?
Plot Bubble,
yes.
Which is my podcast network.
What is it about first?
Oh, it's about all kinds of wonderful things. We do shows about TV and movies as well, but we do them about real ones, which is less fun.
It is less fun.
We do a show called The Shit Zone, which is about the web series Red vs. Blue. We do a show called Beacon Broadcast, which is about the anime Ruby, the first episode of the new season of which should be out by the time you're listening to this. And we do a show called Watch and Learn, in which we introduce new people to shows that they've never seen and they guess what they think it might be about.
That is like just as zany as Life's a Pitch. If I had to put it on a zane level,
yeah, a similar zane,
somewhere near
so.
Us.
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10 zanes.
No,
yeah.
8 out of 10 zanes. That is pretty zany. And you can find all of those at plotbubble.com.
Oh.
Thank you for coming on the show, guys.
Mm.
Thank you. It was fun.
Yeah. And
until you are forced to murder your dead husband's lover with his favourite spoon before running from his embodiment of a spectral bus.
Yeah, killer!
Killer! Then I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Tom McGrath.
Oh, I've been Theo Rao.
And I've been Patrick Lickman.
And remember, who pitched it?
Bye!
All right, whack out the spooky board.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's time for
podcast over. It's time for the real scares.
That real shit.
Right. We're doing the sixth seance today.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, boy.
Right.
I really think that the reason the first five failed is these garbage fires. Can we not try candles?
I mean, do you have any candles?
I mean, I think it might be better in total darkness. We could blow these out.
Okay.
Yeah, let's blow the candles out. Wow, you really... Why are you two glowing?
What? Glowing?
Like, we've blown all the lights out. You two seem to be glowing and we can see through you.
What are you talking about, guys? We're completely solid. Oh, shit. Guys.
How did you get here?
The bus?
There it is.
Oh. Do you not remember? Theo. The bus was late. And that driver was really angry. So angry.
Shit.
Oh.
Maybe that fifth seance didn't fail.
Maybe. Ooh. Oh, shit.
We gotta get out of here, Tom.
This is.
It's
way
happened
too
again.
Real. Oh, my God. Right, yeah, right, we'll bolt the door again. Maybe
yeah.
That'll stop.
The other way around.
Down.
So, yeah. I'll get the stuff here.
Cool.
Okay, there he goes. Like, okay, let's leave.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
We've got to
trap them in the church.
Next time we're going to space.
The power of pitch compels you! The power of pitch compels you! The power of pitch compels you!
Alright, we're going! For God's sake.
Jesus,
ooh, what a phantasmic ending. You would never have poltergeist that was coming. Well, if you're dying for more, then you're going to have to tune in next week for my next tale. I hear it's out of this world. Only on the Life's a Pitch podcast, Tales from the Script.
Ha 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 ha!